With spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Roto-World Football Podcast. As you know, my name is Josh Norris, and as you know, this is the most important podcast in the universe. Today's podcast is on Friday. You can also check out Yesterday's with Ray, Nick, and Rich. You can also check out Roto-World Live, which is this Sunday, noon Eastern. We'll be there to help you set your optimal lineup on Facebook.com/Roto-World. And if you enjoy this podcast at any moment, just for a millisecond, consider subscribing. I'm here right now with Evan Silva. Evan writes the matchups column over at rotoworld.com. Evan, I've never asked you this question, so let me start by quickly asking it. When you watch games for the matchups column, are you watching full games, or are you just watching like a team's offense versus a defense? You know what I mean? Like, would you go back to last week and just watch the Rams offense series by series by series, or would you watch the full Rams Saints game?
Yeah, I mean, it changes during the course of the season. Like early in the season, I try to just watch the offenses, but I mean, now I'm at the point where it's a huge time crunch.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to watch like as many games as I possibly can while trying to be efficient on Mondays. You know, I mean, I watch like, I don't know what, 6 or 7 games Thursday through Monday. And then, you know, the rest on Monday morning. So that's where I'm at.
Got it. All right, let's start with maybe a double dip, maybe a triple dip, actually, in this Oakland Raiders-New York Giants game. Look, I mean, on paper, it's not going to be a fun game to watch, necessarily. It's a 42.5 over-under. It's not like either of these teams are playing well. But because of the poor defenses, there might be some players in this one that we can utilize to our advantage that other people might be off of. And that might include Marshawn Lynch, who's really come on as of late, and Jared Cook, who's kind of put up 2 goose eggs in a row.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch, 29 touches last week, season high. Also a season high in snaps played. I mean, if the Raiders are smart, I mean, they're going to be without both of their starting wide receivers. If they're going to be smart this week, they're going to do exactly what they did last week, which was feature Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch only averaged 2.6 yards per carry against the Broncos, but he got, you know, again, he got a lot of work. And I think that he looked good when he with the ball in his hands. He looked good as a receiver as well. And facing this Giants defense that is 24th in run defense DVOA, I think that he is going to be a featured component of the Raiders offense again. And, you know, this game is very, especially at the running back position, it's very much about usage. And the usage hasn't been there for Marshawn Lynch all year. But I have some going to remain there for Marshawn Lynch. You know, they talked early in the season about how they wanted to kind of save him for the latter half of the year. And, I mean, this is the prime opportunity to do it in a good matchup with missing both of your wideouts. I'm sticking with him. I think he's a really good play this week in both daily fantasy and season long.
And with Jared Cook, it's not just that he's playing – against the Giants defense, which is a defense we always want to target the tight ends. If we're going to speak about a narrative here, he's kind of the only, you know, first string, let's put it that way, pass catcher that has, you know, put up solid games, consistent games. Because before the last two previous contest, he had like a streak of three or four where he was very, very good. So would you expect a bounce back week or possibly get one here with Jared Cook? Because the ownership will be low.
I do. I mean, third most receptions allowed to tight ends by the Giants, fourth most receiving yards, and a league high 10 touchdowns allowed to the position. I think that Jared Cook is going to be the Raiders, Derek Carr's go-to guy in this game. He actually leads the Raiders on the season in receiving yards. So he's kind of been that, you know, in spurts over the course of the year. We know he's very athletic. He can line up and run wide receiver routes. And I don't think that there's anybody that can cover him in the Giants secondary. You know, Landon Collins has been playing with a high ankle sprain all year, has been significantly less effective than he was as a rookie. I would expect 6 to 9 targets for Jared Cook in this game. And he has that big playability to make those targets count.
What about, and I even tweeted out as soon as he got named the starter, Geno and Cash. Is there any truth to that statement?
I think there is. I mean, he's super, super cheap on both FanDuel and DraftKings. So the best streamer analysts, quarterback streamer analysts, really kicker and defense too, are Denny Carter and J.J. Zacharyson. I mean, that's how they really built their brand. And I noticed that in one of my bigger leagues that I play in season long, I'm playing Denny Carter this week. And guess who he's starting at quarterback?
Geno.
Correct. And Denny's a very, very good player. And he's very willing to, you know, look at who's on the waiver wire and try to identify quarterbacks that are in great matchups. The matchups just don't get better than quarterbacks facing the Raiders. Four of the last five quarterbacks to face the Raiders have been top 10 fantasy quarterbacks on the week. Jay Cutler, who hasn't finished higher than the quarterback 16 in any week all season, a couple of weeks ago was the quarterback 4 against the Raiders. This is an awesome matchup. I think Geno can play a little bit.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at his last 8 appearances, which is just 8 games, 5 starts, 9-4 touchdown interception ratio, almost 64% completions, over 8 yards per attempt. You know, he's a guy who early in his career was written off, but he had nothing around him on the Jets. He was, you know, kind of an immature guy, you know, a little bit. But his number one receiver for years was Jeremy Curley, who is he even on a roster right now?
I believe he's on the Jets, but he's suspended for PEDs or something like that.
Yes, he's suspended. He's bounced around a bunch of different teams. Now Geno Smith is going to be playing with Evan Ingram and Sterling Shepard, who is back from his migraines. And I think that he will have success. Also, if you go back and look at that 8-game sample, he's run for 118 yards. So he also brings a little bit of dual threat ability. He's not really a true dual threat. He's more of a pocket passer, but he can certainly extend plays with his legs and tack on, you know, I don't know, 20 or 25 rushing yards. And that will give you two or two and a half more points.
So no hesitation for starting Evan Ingram in this one as well?
I mean, the hesitation would come from the fact that he's had 2 slow games in a row.
Yeah.
He just really hasn't played well.
Right.
You know, in 2 straight games. He's dropped a ton of passes. And the other bit of hesitation would come from the fact that he's got a new quarterback under center.
Yeah.
But I ultimately would have very little hesitation. It's a great matchup. The Raiders have not been great against tight ends. Geno Smith is willing to pull the trigger. I mean, he, you know, that to some extent has been kind of part of his downfall. How willing to pull the trigger that he is. I'm optimistic and hopeful that he has success. Maybe we will see Eric Stoner pop back up on Twitter on Sunday to give us a breakdown of his game. Eric Stoner, you know, old school draft Twitter dude, very, very smart guy.
Yeah.
You know, got way more right than he got wrong. But he was, you know, leading the Geno Smith charge. I think it was rough for a couple of years, mainly due to the environment that Geno Smith was placed in. But he's a very talented player.
Eric's a listener, by the way. And if really? Not, if he doesn't hop on Twitter, I'll just tweet out his number. How about that? All right, we'll close it out with a rookie who started the season. It was a difficult start. Let's put it that way. Poor catch rate, like very, very poor catch rate.
Yep.
But lately has really bounced back and is hitting a stride here down the stretch. And that is Zay Jones. And the Bills are facing the New England Patriots. First, talk about Zay Jones. And then maybe if you can, discuss how this Patriots defense has turned it around quite a bit. Yeah. Is it because they just aren't making boneheaded plays, like coverage breakdowns in the back half, and really that's all that's happened?
I think so. I mean, we always knew that they had a very talented secondary. I mean,
right.
Stephon Gilmore is a very talented player. He's a first-round pick. He's got a big contract. Devin McCourty has always been one of the best safeties in the league. Malcolm Butler was a guy that the Saints wanted badly this offseason. Patriots wound up keeping him. I mean, they've always had a lot of good players in the secondary, but what they lacked early in the season was seemingly like a sense of like discipline, and they really have never had pass rush. Although Trey Flowers has stepped up a little bit to help them in the pass rush department, and you know you have to have kind of a little bit of everything, and even now, I mean, they're still kind of bend but don't break. You know, they will still give up productive games to opposing players, but they have been shutting down teams in terms of points allowed. Right. And at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. You know, that's what matters to fans. That's what matters to Bill Belichick. But I think that Zay Jones can have a productive game here. We're not going to see Kelvin Benjamin. I know the Bills are trying to push that he's not that injured. Dude has a torn meniscus. You know, the average time of missed games for a guy with a torn meniscus is 4 to 5 games. I don't think we're going to see him, anytime in the near future. And Zay Jones, as you mentioned, got off to a very slow start as a rookie. He's picked it up recently. He still hasn't been super efficient. Even last week, he saw 10 targets, caught only 3 for 33 yards and a touchdown. But he's seen 7-plus targets in 4 of his last 5. And if you go back to the time when Tyrod Taylor was benched and when he came off the bench against the Chargers, Zay Jones has been by far his number one receiver, 17 targets in that 6-quarter stretch. And second on the team, I believe, is a Travarius Cadet with like 8. So dominating targets. I think he's got a fine matchup. I think that the bend but don't break mentality, they will be willing to give up some short catches to a player like Zay Jones. Zay Jones is the stone minimum on FanDuel at 4,500.
Really?
Yes, he's very
what?
Intriguing there. Yeah, 4,500 is a pricing error.
There we go. FanDuel.
Yep.
That makes sense. Interesting, huh? Yeah, what's interesting is you usually see rookies kind of hit a wall. Maybe that's what Evan Engram is doing. But players like Samaje Perine and Zay Jones are kind of hitting their stride somewhat right now. All right, Evan, thanks so much. And by the way, all of you out there, like Thomas and Theodore and Teddy and Trent, all of you, please subscribe to this podcast if you have not. And if you have, consider rate and reviewing. And right after this break, it will be RotoPat to pick on his rankings. Talk to you in a bit. It is time for me to tell you about HIP Sports. That's HYP Sports. It is an app on your phone. Just go to the App Store and again, type in HIP Sports, HYP Sports. It is free to play. And what it does, it combines DFS with Ultimate Team. If you play that in FIFA, if you play that in Madden, what you need to do is once you download and open the app, go to the football section and type in RW Football 1. Again, that's RW Football 1 because on top of the starter pack, which gives you, well, gave B players like Kareem Hunt, AJ Green, Jared Goff, Marquise Lee, you get extra players like Cam Newton, LeSean McCoy, DeAndre Hopkins. Not bad. Not a bad lineup to start off with. And with that lineup, you can enter contest, solo play, face other players as well. I certainly have fun with it, and you will too. And HIP Sports is free to play and available in the App Store on Google Play and Facebook. Download today. Once you've downloaded it, go into your sport, which is football, click on Promo Zone, RWFootball1. Enter that, and you get to redeem your code. Please see the app for details. Terms and conditions may apply. And we are back with Roto Pat, Patrick Daugherty. You can check out Pat's rankings. Those things with like the names and the numbers beside them. Those are over at rotoworld.com, either free or on the season pass. And in fact, on the season pass, there are a number of other people who do rankings as well. But I'm not talking to those other people right now. I am talking to Pat. And Pat, my question to you to open this conversation is, you don't have a choice. You can't do this. What, if forced to, would you put on your license plate?
Oh, like
if you
had
to have one of those customized license plates, what would you put on? Because anyone who has one, you know, we know what we think about them. And none of us would ever do that. No offense if you do. But if you were forced to do it, what would you put on it?
I thought you were going to give me two choices, and one of them was going to be like speeder with no E's. It's a very typical vanity plate. If I had to have a vanity plate, maybe Pujols for Albert Pujols, then the number 4, then the word life spelled with a Y instead of an I.
All right.
That would be my vanity license plate.
This vanity lifestyle.
That's too many characters for a vanity plate, but I would try to get a dispensation. But yeah, I always worshipped at the altar of Albert Pujols, so why not honor him with a vanity license plate?
Got it. All right. I guess I got out of that what I had hoped to, but not really. You know, I'm like, maybe I got 60% and the 40% of me is just disappointed.
What were you looking for?
Some like creative thing, not just like another baseball love of yours. Like, I feel like I get all the time.
What could be a creative? There's no such thing as a creative vanity plate, in my opinion. I mean, like maybe apocalypse coming 2020 or something like that. End times now. Okay.
This was a failure on my part. I'll take credit for this. Pat, let's just go to someone who was a failure at times last week. And I'm a big Cam Newton fan, but he did not
You're
have his
You're a Panthers
best game.
Fan? What, you have,
I'm not a I fan. I'm a Cam Newton people. Fan. The I just watch the Panthers every Sunday. You know, I'm not invested in them anymore.
I'm not trying to accuse you of that, but yeah, you do. Being a Panther as a tiebreaker. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so Cam didn't have his best game, right? And it might be the thumb injury. It might be whatever. However, this week against the New Orleans Saints, you have him as quarterback 4. We talked about the New Orleans Saints defense last week. And with Ken Crawley and Marshawn Lattimore, it looked far worse. And that's also without Alex Okafor. It seems like they're going to get Crawley back this week. I don't know about Lattimore. Maybe you can fill me in on that. But I don't know. Quarterback 4 just seems quite high. And I know that like if the Panthers score points, it's by the hands of Cam Newton. I don't know. He had a great performance a couple weeks ago. But last week, you know, is leaving a sour taste in my mouth.
It's very high, Josh. It's very, very high. It's kind of indicative of a quarterback position this year that's really never settled down. Like, there's always 3 or 4 veterans slumping at once, or 3 or 4 of the young guns not progressing as expected. I mean, we got Tyrod Taylor. You know, it's kind of like a consensus QB1 this week. Just a very weird year at quarterback. But Marshawn Lattimore actually didn't practice Thursday after returning on Wednesday, so he's looking probably on the wrong side of questionable, which would obviously be a big boost for Cam Newton. And you know, so he's been struggling as a passer almost all year, but he's tied for 4th in rushing touchdowns. He has 5 rushing touchdowns. He's in like the top 30 in rushing overall. Yeah. And that has really been salvaging his overall fantasy floor and ceiling. And even if he's kind of gone back into a statistical slump of late, he's the QB8 by average points over the past 5 weeks. And, you know, it's a game in New Orleans. The 48 over under should be high scoring. And I agree, it doesn't feel great on the surface, but yeah, I just feel like, just kind of one of those weeks. Cam Newton's in the top 5, man.
You have other names like Phillip Rivers against the Browns, Jared Goff against the Cardinals after him. I don't know. Like, I understand that Cam can have 30-point weeks. I'm just not so sure if it's this one.
Do you really believe in me? I still feel like on a weekly basis, Cam has maybe Phillip Rivers has a slightly higher floor than Cam, but I think Cam's ceiling is still much higher. Yeah. Jared Goff, you know, He did it last week. I still am not a believer, just to be frank. I mean, that's going to get some tomatoes thrown at me on Twitter. But
I didn't say it. Just for the record, I did not say that on this podcast.
We'll see how he does on the road in Arizona. I mean, Drew Brees, you know, he's had like 1-3 touchdown game all year playing the Panthers this week. And yeah, I mean, then Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota struggling, Matt Ryan against the Vikings, Ben Roethlisberger against the Bengals, who he hasn't had a ton of success against.
It's not a good quarterback week.
Yeah, you get down to Case Keenum and Josh McCown. It's a messed up week.
Well, let's go to someone who has been messing up my fantasy roster since week 3, and that's Kareem Hunt. Gosh, the mighty have fallen in many ways, and not just Kareem Hunt, but that entire Chiefs offense. No, that is not the train that you can hop on, the bandwagon. No, that's not it. In fact, I'm hopping off the bandwagon right now in terms of a fantasy asset with Kareem Hunt. However, you're not. You have him locked in as a running back one, as running back 10 this week.
You can edit that part out, by the way, about the train. Just doing you a favor.
Thank you.
It's be honest, I might honestly be my least favorite ranking of the entire week. I mean, I get why someone, a podcast host such as yourself, would take umbrage with it.
Yep.
But he still has the volume. You know, it's tricky. It's sort of the same thing with Cam Newton. It's tricky territory behind him. I mean, do you want Carlos Hyde on the road against the Bears? Jamal Williams, Marshawn Lynch, who had crazy, like, inconsistent usage all year. Maybe you can make an argument for Deion Lewis ahead of him. I mean, maybe Lamar Miller, too. I don't really believe in Lamar Miller. But I still think he has the volume. The Jets are allowing 7th most weekly rushing yards. I mean, the Chiefs have to know. They probably need to get him going. And, yeah, you could definitely tell me this is a bad ranking and have some good arguments. But I just feel like I still – it's all about the – we've seen him do it. He's still got the volume. There's still – I mean, this – season numbers, you know, he's still like in the top 5. And
I know, but
we know
he's the upside. Numbers don't matter
anymore. I know that's not a good reason to rank. That's not why I have him there. I just think that people have gotten a little too off the train on Kareem. It's not like, you know, Sharkhandrick West, who's not even practicing this week, by the way, it's like banging down the door behind him or anything. I think he's going to continue to get opportunities to snap the slump, and the Jets are not a bad matchup.
You have him ahead of Jamal Williams, and I, in many leagues, am starting Jamal Williams over Kareem Hunt.
Well, that could be a problem, Josh, if Aaron Jones returns.
I know.
We'll find out on Friday or Saturday. And then you're going to have to start Kareem Hunt, and then you're going to feel like a genius when he snaps a slump.
All right. You also, let me pull up these rankings once again. You also have Adrian Peterson as running back 17. They are facing the LA Rams. Look, the Rams are favored heavily in this game, I believe. Yes. That's just, you know, an educated guess. And if the Cardinals are down, what, 14 points. How effective is Adrian Peterson going to be in this game? I understand early in the game they're going to get him his touches, but after that, it's not like he's a negative game script style of running back.
I didn't know if you were going to say this was too high or too low. The Rams are a touchdown favorite, I believe. I'm agreeing with Vegas. I think even a touchdown's a little high, to be perfectly honest. For this Robert Woods-less offense headed to the desert, man. You know, be careful out here in the desert. But yeah, the Rams are still allowing the second most running back fantasy points, 123 rushing yards per game.
Yeah.
There's one thing we know about Adrian Peterson. Even in negative game script, he will get the volume. I mean, their backup running back this week is apparently DJ Foster.
My dog does not like your ranking.
No, he doesn't.
Zap is firmly in my corner of this Adrian Peterson ranking.
And they traded Andre Ellington. Kerwin Williams is hurt. DJ Foster. It's just like, Adrian's going to get the work, and that's half the battle. And the Rams are relatively soft against the run. So I think RB17 is fair for Adrian Peterson this week.
I actually preferred Zapp's argument in that one. we'll close it out with Doug Baldwin. You have his wide receiver 14. I mean, I'm starting Doug Baldwin each and every week. He cost me a win last week. It wasn't my fault. It was Doug Baldwin's fault. They are facing the Philadelphia Eagles. Is there anything you can tell me? Because obviously Doug Baldwin is going to play in the slot. It's not like the Eagles' defensive backfield is the best part of their team. No, it's their, you know, front four with the pass rushers and the rotation. Should we expect, obviously, wide receiver 1 borderline points from Doug Baldwin? What I'm saying here, Pat, is talk me into being comfortable in starting Doug Baldwin.
Not sure if I could really do that. He has only 15 targets over his past three games. only the wide receiver 24 by average points. So I'm telling you, this is a bad ranking, is what I'm trying to say. But, you know, they're okay. So the Seahawks are at home. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Russell Wilson will probably be running for his life. But I just think it kind of sets up as a game for Doug Baldwin to kind of snap his recent mini slump. You know, the Eagles' defense has not been allowing like a ton of passing production, but their weakness is still in the secondary and still in the cornerback core. So it's, I think Baldwin will have a matchup advantage. And Russell Wilson, you know, has been getting two or three touchdowns every week. I think it's the setup pretty well, basically, for Doug Baldwin, who had been producing as a top 12 guy for
sure.
5 or 6 weeks. I think it's just a week that sets up well for him to snap his recent slump.
I was going to say something. What was I going to say? Oh, this game kind of worries me for the Seahawks as a whole. Like, I understand Russell Wilson's like a magician, but we, again, the strength of the Eagles is their front four, and the absolute worst part of the Seahawks is their blocking offensive line.
I mean, there's no five. Doubt.
Russell so Wilson like, I absolutely wonder if he just snaps the ball and just has to run around, and I don't know how this offense will be able to function at a high level throughout is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's no doubt he's going to be running for his life, but he's been doing that pretty much all year. Yeah. And he has multiple touchdowns and 6 straight starts and 8 of 11. So I still think Russell will find a way to get his numbers. And most of the time this year when he's found his numbers, it has involved Doug Baldwin getting some numbers. You know, lately we've had the Jimmy Graham takeover in the red zone, which has maybe dented his case
right.
a little bit. But yeah, I think Russell will get his numbers. And more often than not, that means Doug Baldwin has like a top 18 week.
And I'm cool with a negative game script as well, if that's the case. So that would only kind of help us out in some regards with Doug Baldwin. All right, Pat, thanks a lot. You can check out Pat's rankings over at rotoworld.com. You can check him out on Roto World Live, which is this Sunday at noon. We're going to help you win in week 13 so you can make the playoffs next week. And until next time, and next time is Tuesday with Ray Summerlin on this very podcast. Talk to you all then. See ya.
Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.